You want to start at the top of the show?
Yeah.
Imagine.
That's the beginning of the show.
Happy Sunday.
Happy Sunday.
Happy October. Happy late October.
It is, what's the date today? October 22nd, 1:42 p.m. For the people.
How many days into the year is this?
This is 295 days into the year.
295. How did you know that so quickly?
Because my streak is 295 days. This is day 296 because I've hit 295 days of movement goals. And I just need to do today, which means I need
getting rings.
Time. Yeah, I got to close those rings. My watch tells me to close those rings, and it tells me when you close the rings.
Is there a hashtag for that yet?
Hashtag close the rings?
Yeah, I mean, there has to be a community around it.
Probably. It's probably sponsored by Apple.
there's an event called Close the Ring.
Yeah, Close the Ring event. You got a topic. You got a whole thing.
There's someone doing like a TED kind of talk.
Oh, I would listen to a TED talk about closing the rings.
How they chose the colors. You see, green is the most effective closing of the ring color.
Yeah, I bet it took a lot of courage for them to.
Where is that coming from? I'm hearing that.
So last year when they announced the iPhone 7, Phil Schiller came out and talking about the removal of the headphone jack. In the iPhone 7, and he said, it takes a lot of courage to do this, turned into a meme.
Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, courage? There's nothing courageous about removing something, a headphone jack from a phone.
Tell me about a time that that you had courage. Coming up, you don't have a courage story that you're ready for?
No. Okay. I don't have courage stories on the ready. I mean, I asked a girl out once. That was courageous.
What'd she say? What'd she say about your bravery? Did she call you brave?
She was like, nah. I was like, that's fine. But my courage is on display. There needs to be a monument about this moment.
At a Facebook event, asked girl out.
Yeah.
And Facebook reminds you of it year after year.
Yeah, a little time hop. Is that what it's called? Time hop?
It's called time hop. Well, you got a Sonder hat on. It's nice to see you.
Yeah.
You look nice. You changed your Twitter avatar. I was like stepping in. I feel like I'm talking to a new man. It's been a while since we've hit up the radio.
Yeah.
I just want to start at the top. New Twitter avatar.
Yes.
New Instagram content from you. Usually, you know, it's shows. Is it sneakers ever? I don't think it's sneakers ever.
But, no, I can't afford. I can't afford. I send you pictures of me laying on the bed with shoes on.
I confuse our personal iMessage with your Twitter personality, so I can't tell what's actually out there,
you know,
and what's just for me.
I'm such an authentic Twitter personality that the real me is the Twitter me.
Okay.
So as an authentic personality on the internet, and you know, the more authentic you are, the more you get to say I'm an authentic personality.
Right. There's definitely a, what do you call that? A repository of genuine credits of, you know.
Yeah.
You only get to say that you're authentic as many times as you have been, or is the ratio 1-to-1?
Oh, well, if you're authentic, you get to talk about how authentic you are. It's like people who are hip or cool get to talk about how hip and cool they are.
Yeah.
There's a Jeep commercial with Halsey. I don't know how to pronounce her name.
I've always said Halsey.
Halsey, yeah, that's what it is.
Okay.
Halsey. And she talks about how she's an authentic, real person. It's a commercial for Jeep.
I feel like you disagree.
I feel like once you're doing commercials, you're not an authentic personality. Like, wow. You can't, if you're doing a Jeep commercial and you talk about that you're an authentic personality, It's like, hold on. How many takes did it get? Did you have to do to say you're an authentic personality?
Ooh, there's got to be irony if it's not one.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If you're on, like, if the editor used take 14 of you saying you're authentic, or even worse, you did it on set and then it wasn't good enough and they called you in to do voiceover on it.
Oh God. Hey, we're going to have to get that again. You didn't sound like you believed yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, all right then. I feel like we're our authentic selves. I feel like you've let me and your Instagram followers in on a more authentic version of yourself. I just want to talk about your recipes. I want to talk about your food. You're eating. That's how we know someone's feeling when they're taking pictures of their meal.
Uh huh.
There's a pride behind it. You got this angle thing going. You got this glisten. Uh-huh. You got this nice sheen.
Uh-huh.
Are you filtering those photos? Or are those all just naked?
Oh no. You gotta run it through little visual supply company.
They have the best camera app. Yeah. I absolutely believe that.
Yeah, add that like a little Kodak lens or film emulation with a bunch of grain.
Are you doing that? Come on.
100%. 100%.
That's not all in the camera. You are a director.
No, I'm not. No, I'm not a director.
Direct the plate.
I do direct the plate. I do direct the plate. See, I edit. No, I'm not a director. Okay. I edit the photos to make them look more like I shot it on an old Canon A1.
Ooh, there's a particular camera that you're going for?
No, it's just... I make it look like I shot on a iPhone 8 Plus with film canister on the side.
I do want to see. I want to see an iPhone with the most amount of attachments on it for the cameras. Like, just get a nice camera. Do it.
Yeah. Yeah. Once you start adding lenses and the like mounts and like stabilization to your iPhone.
Once you add stabilization to anything that you're doing, you might be interested in photography.
Yeah.
You just might be. I don't know.
Yeah. How you doing? You're back from the other side of the planet.
Yeah.
You were in another world.
It's always fascinating to see that it's 5,000 miles.
Yeah, you were a long way.
Doesn't seem like there's
way.
That many, right?
It doesn't seem like there are 5,000 miles to travel. No, it doesn't.
But yeah, it was the furthest away that I've been from home again, I guess.
Yeah, you were there like 2 years ago.
I was there 2 years ago. But I mean, that's the furthest that I can track from the old Columbus. So it's always everything is novel. Everything about it. Like from normal transactions to exchanges of conversation, just it's almost like a recalibration. You feel like a kid, or you feel like everyone's trying to help you. That's one of my favorite things, is once they realize that you're on your seventh hour into their country, people are suddenly nicer.
Yeah. Well, I imagine the folks of Amsterdam are just nicer people anyway.
Yeah, it's what makes you say that?
Well, they're not American.
Oh, okay. I mean, most Americans that I interact with are pleasant toward me. But there's not that, here, let me cradle you into our culture.
Yeah.
It's like, this is bread. Have you had bread before?
Well.
So, and no, I have not had your baguette. Let me take a sample.
How's the bread? How's the bread in Amsterdam? Are we A+ bread?
I'd say A+ bread. It's everyone, maybe not everyone, but there's always a lot of questions when you travel somewhere. Is the food? How's the food? Obviously, the food's got to be different. I mean, even if you go to Utah or something, someone's going to say, "What'd you eat?"
Yeah.
The thing about Dutch food is that it is. I don't put it in the top tier of foods to consume. It's not my favorite Dutch cuisine.
You're not pining for a new Dutch restaurant in Santa Barbara?
I'm not. No, I mean, I don't think that they kind of think about how You think about Italy and you have pasta dishes and things like that come to mind.
Yeah.
Or you think about Mexico and you have just amazing feats of accomplishment with tortillas. The Dutch are, they seem like they're mostly interested in frying meats and various forms of wheat infused to each other. And sometimes there's cheese involved, and that's a nice treat. But yeah, there's this dish called Bitterballen. That's kind of like, that's what people get excited about. Have you ever had that?
Me?
Yeah.
No, I have no idea what it is. Bitterballen.
Yeah, does it, I mean, it has a fun name, right?
Bitterballen.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's give a little.
A Dutch meat-based snack, typically containing beef or veal, beef broth, butter, flour. Okay. Wow. All right. It looks like a hush puppy.
Yeah. And I find that there's various. So you know how a taco is the basic form of the more exotic variants on that. So you start with taco, maybe go to tostada, maybe have a quesadilla, maybe roll over to some more things. What are some more types of those basic ingredients, but they just take on a different form so they have another name? Empanada, maybe?
Uh-huh.
Mm. So Bitterballen is what I would consider the most basic form of the other dishes that I don't... They all have crazy names. And so I find myself like, oh, we have this in the lunchroom today, or this has been offered as an appetizer.
Yeah.
And it's just not my favorite. That's all.
You don't want me to make you some bitterballen for Christmas if you're in town.
I would like a Christmas bitterballen just to see what you just to see how that updates your Instagram feed. Maybe like made this for my pal Brandon, and you know, you get a nice international kudos for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Shout out hashtag bitterballen. Really, you know, I don't know if you experience this as
bitterballen worldwide.
But you know, sometimes when you post on the Instagrams, or you follow somebody on Instagram, this used to be a much bigger problem on Twitter, but it seems like it's less so now. But you follow somebody or you post something on Instagram, and then suddenly you get 40 new followers that are kind of about that topic.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I have. It only works if I do the captions, though.
Yeah. When it's like in the text.
Mm-hmm.
But like, I really want those like hardcore bitterballen Instagram people to appear.
I bet there is a hashtag out there. It's just like French fries or something, you know. It's or In-N-Out or something like that. You go over there, you have a bitterballen, and then you have a Heineken, and you're like, I'm, you know, long live the king. It's you know, it's just kind of a stereotypical, hey, you're in this place, you should have this food.
Yeah.
And you take it.
As of 1:56 p.m. on October 22nd, 2017, there were 38,899 posts with the bitterballen hashtag.
Are they all of the food?
Let's see. I mean, I'm not going to go through all 38,000, but yes. it's all the food.
I was hoping that there was someone who was maybe taking the words and doing something else with them.
Like you're ballin'.
Yes.
But you're exactly bitter. Right. You're bitter.
Yeah. Right. It's kind of like when you're like, it's pretty much the I don't fuck with you song, like put in a different form. Like, because, I mean, you don't have to have a 3-minute pop anthem hit about not being into somebody, right?
Yes, you do.
Oh, okay.
That's Taylor Swift's entire career.
she's made a career on breakups and emotional trauma.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so is Adele. I feel like Justin Timberlake had that a little bit. What goes around was about Britney Spears. I mean, that was kind of his biggest hit for a while.
It was.
I mean, Jay-Z had a whole album about cheating on Beyonce.
You know, I think he spent two tracks on it. I don't know if he went as far as you're saying. What do you think? You're talking about the four album, right?
444, yeah.
Right. I think that was
an apology to Solange. That entire album was an apology to Solange. Not Beyonce, just Solange.
But listen, I do not accept your apology unless you make a record chart, charting record.
Yeah.
That's how I was explaining to a friend that whole saga is my Kardashians.
Okay. Jay-Z and Solange and Beyonce. That's your Kardashians.
Yeah, yeah, and all the theories that go around it.
Yeah.
I can follow it. It's episodic.
It is a little bit. I mean, you do miss the story's not as crazy, right?
Which I kind of enjoy. It's kind of just some normal people shit.
It is a little bit normal people shit, but you know, you really miss the Kanye portion of the story. Like, you need a crazy person to come in and just for no reason just completely throw everything for a loop.
I suppose so. You need your wild card. Is Kanye West the Charlie Day of the hip hop world?
He might be. if you throw Kanye into any situation, yeah, he might jump out of the back of a band screaming wild card.
Yeah. So Amsterdam was just a great experience all around. I mean, I don't have any credentials to be traveling to Europe and reporting on it. But Amsterdam reminds me of what Chicago and a little bit of New York, just not as tall, and West Coast cities, if they were combined and done well. Does that check out?
No, I don't know.
They've solved flooding. Like the whole, like if you look up on the maps, which is always crazy to me, you know, you just look up Amsterdam. It's next to the ocean. I was looking out of the window for the first time because I finally landed during the day.
Okay.
In Amsterdam, and I was looking over the you know how they say don't look down? I think that was one of my first experiences of vertigo. Is that what that's called when you witness something so jarring?
Well, vertigo is like when that lightheaded feeling you get when you go from a seated position to standing.
I did get a little bit of that, I guess.
Or I'm like saying, when you look up at a tall building and you feel that, like kind of like you're floating a little bit.
So yes, I suppose it's what do you call that, redundant to say I felt like I was floating in an airplane. But
yeah, you're flying. You weren't even floating. You were up in the air.
Right. So, but all of the, there's a lot of cool, yeah, think of Amsterdam like Chicago, where you have boroughs or different areas of the city, and the buildings are so smashed together, and there's no gaps in between them for entire blocks, that you just see a lot of activity and a lot of signs, and you have neighborhoods that are seemingly in the middle of their gentrification process.
Is there a gentrification problem in Amsterdam?
I don't, I mean, you'd have to describe problem though. I mean,
are there people, who are being pushed out of their neighborhoods because of, money and, possibly race?
I'd say it'd almost be hard to really tell unless I was there for a long time.
Uh-huh.
But I do think that everywhere that is a destination area is getting the Airbnb effect.
Yes. So okay.
You will always have that kind of, as technology disrupts a common way of living.
Disrupt. Hey,
has the show hit its stride when a word like disrupt gets used?
Yeah, let's open the kimono and talk about the disruption market.
Okay, great. But no, so I do think that there are areas of Amsterdam that probably looked and behaved a lot differently due to that just being an area, because I do use Airbnb when I'm traveling like that, or anywhere really.
Mm-hmm.
So you just notice the places with a lot of listings,
mm-hmm.
they have this sort of transient feeling. It feels like no one's been there for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
Like nothing or no one has been there as an institution. That said, I did visit the world's oldest comic book shop, which was right near the central of Amsterdam, which was really cool. It was just...
Did you buy anything?
I did. I bought a comic called Cunt Lull. Actually, okay. I would love to link to this. It is a... Think of it as like a zine, you know, when you have lots of small pieces put together. So... But yeah, it was a really cool experience. I went there with a friend that I met on the swipes. It was a date, and she said, "Let's go to the comic book shop."
I can't believe you go to Amsterdam for 3 weeks. Were you there 3 weeks?
I think it was
maybe a month
and a half. Yeah,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And you're just swiping, going on dates.
Excuse me. No, hey, listen, it wasn't like that.
Although just like not even paying it, you're just flying across the world just to
I had a job to do.
Mm-hmm. You reach the end of Santa Barbara swiping and you're like, I gotta go somewhere else now.
There's only 14 single people in Santa Barbara, so
yeah. Oh wow.
Okay, that's not true, because it's Santa Barbara 16. Is as well a destination spot, and people definitely come here, and I'm traveling.
Yeah.
And I like hiking. So.
Yeah. So swipe with me and take me on a hike.
Swipe with me. That sounds like a 2002 era R&B line.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like Usher could have maybe said that.
Come yeah.
Swipe with me. Mm-hmm. But maybe in modern times it'd be one of these rappers with purple hair.
With names I don't understand, like what's his triple X Extentation, whatever that dude's name is. I have no idea who he is. All I know is he beat up a girl, and now he's signed a big record deal.
Is that who that guy is?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
How does Chris Brown have? He has a Netflix documentary, right, or something?
He does have a documentary. Movie. I think it's Netflix. What? Yeah.
How did they just skip the part where we're not?
I think it's about recovery. I think it's about he's trying to. It's like a PR move. He's trying to look less like he beat up somebody.
Oh, right.
Not somebody, but like Rihanna.
Yeah,
and other people multiple times randomly throughout time. But he's reformed. He's not. He doesn't have anger issues anymore.
Do you believe it?
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
There's lots of recovery content in the world right now. Russell Brand just released a book called Recovery. I really want to get into it. Have you seen it?
I have seen it. I saw him on Bill Maher talking about his addiction to like everything.
Yeah,
and now he's recovering.
How did you? Did it resonate at all, or was it just kind of interesting to watch?
His interview,
we'll link to it.
Yeah, seemed a little bit like he was on speed.
Oh, well, have you seen Russell Brand at all? Like, but beyond that,
yeah. Oh, I've seen him many times.
Okay, so I mean, so you know his personality.
Yeah, yeah. Well,
it still seemed speedy.
Yeah, yeah. You start to realize that, like. Oh, that wasn't the drugs. That was just Russell Brand.
Right. That's what I was kind of.
Yeah.
But I do think constant drug use can have a permanent or maybe lasting effect. Maybe.
Yeah. Yeah. It does eventually change the chemistry a little bit.
Well, I hope he gets better.
Yeah. Well, he lost Katy Perry. I mean, it's all downhill from there.
You know, I don't know, man. Like, you gotta let Katy Perry be herself. I imagine that there were several disagreements. He seems like such a tempting to be genuine person.
He does. He definitely does.
Right. And I don't know if that's like necessarily, I mean, you know, okay. Two people that are trying their best to be genuine. Maybe there's two yins. There's not a yang to it.
When you're trying to be genuine, you failed.
Hey, we're getting to the poetry of this show.
Yeah. I got some lessons for y'all. Yeah. As an authentic person, I can really give a lot of lectures on how to be authentic.
Thank you. I hope that during our hour or so hour and some change together, that I learned some lessons. Our listeners learned some lessons.
Yeah.
What do you got for us?
Well, number one, if you're trying to be authentic, you're not authentic.
What do you think about the authenticity of, say, the former, what link did you send me? Former white woman discusses her black woman transition. What do you think about her?
Is she genuine? I think she's just trying to be herself.
I think she's being for real.
I think, obviously, race is something you can easily just ebb and flow out of. I'm sure, Brandon, many times in your life, you've walked into the room and say, you know, I'm going to be white now. And everyone's like, yeah, he's white now.
There's an Atlanta episode that does that.
Yeah. Yeah. the Emmy award winning episode of Atlanta.
Donald Glover can win as many awards as he wants, and I will have no qualms with it.
Yeah, I agree.
But why is Maury putting out this type of content? Well,
it's Maury, man.
Okay.
He already found all the fathers and not fathers. So now he's got to move on to something else.
If you're not familiar with what Josh and I are talking about, it's Martina Big. And I mean, just the name alone next to what are the largest bosoms on earth.
Bosoms.
There's no other word for that. Those aren't breasts. We can't give them the word tits. Those are, oh boy, and there's a necklace right above them that say black girls rock, huh? Is that what it says?
I think so. Yeah, black girls rock.
I mean,
they do.
It's true.
It is. It's very tragic, this woman, because on the page, and we're referencing this article that was posted on The Root.
We'll have a link to it.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes. It's a very tragic image halfway down the page. On the left, you have former white woman. On the right, you have, honestly, she looked blacker before the change.
And is that maybe a common thread in the authenticity? Is if you're authentic, you're kind of black. That's what I consider. I call a lot of my white friends kind of black, and then I'm talking about their just true to self lives that they're trying to lead.
You have white friends that are kind of black?
I would say that they have black characteristics. They practice. I like to give them props for practicing. Like, you're watching the right shows. You're connecting with me over Issa Rae. Mm. You'll watch Get Out with me. Those are good steps.
Well, that's good steps to take. That's because every white person since Eminem desperately wants to be black.
Do you think it started with Eminem?
I think it started with Eminem.
Okay.
Eminem made it acceptable for white people to want to be black.
I didn't watch that. I didn't watch that rap battle. Ugh.
The Eminem freestyle
that DJ Trump did not show up to. Yeah, I didn't watch it. What was it? Did you watch it?
I watched it.
What did? Where did he say anything new, or was it just kind of? Yeah, right.
No, he said nothing new, and he. It was. I already think Eminem is the most overrated rapper in the history of rap.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
There's no one more overrated than Eminem.
Right. And so
period. That's like the hottest take. Eminem is the most overrated rapper in the history of hip hop.
I'll go ahead and insert a little hot take zone sound effect right there. So with that just being the knowledge of your opinion, were you prepared to not enjoy this anyway?
Yeah, but then he was just saying lines. He was just saying words.
Yeah.
It wasn't like a Sway in the Morning kind of freestyle where like the beat kicks in and somehow Donald Glover does like a 4-minute freestyle that's incredible, or Kanye has done it. It was just like, oh, okay. You're just saying words, and then he would say a word. He would say like a line about like fuck Donald Trump,
yeah.
And then he would pace around in a space, and then it would cut to all the black folks who were sitting on Cadillacs, like that were surrounding Eminem.
Yeah,
they were just looking on stone face.
Yeah, exactly. No,
and then Eminem, they would cut back to Eminem at this low angle, and he would say another line, and then he would really aggressively point towards the screen, like, man, fuck Donald Trump. And he walked around again. And like, dude, come, if you're going to do this, at least try.
You do know that's the format, though, right?
Like, I don't like it. The format works. Like, we've all seen 8 Mile.
Yes, of course.
When it's like an aggressive 3 minutes straight.
Yeah, right.
Not this like pause and like really take in the moment.
Yeah, right. Okay.
And like walk around, circle around, really formulate some new sentences.
I'm watching you do this kind of, I'm watching you mimic it a little bit in your bedroom. And I feel like you could, I feel like you should do a video like this, man. I feel like you have the flavor for it.
No, I don't.
Okay, fine. So it's not, I didn't watch it because I thought that I didn't think it would add anything to my current dialogue about it, and it seems like maybe I was on the mark with that, but maybe I'll give it a watch just to so I can be a little more genuine in my critique of it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Authentic even.
Music's been good though.
There have been some real good albums in the last couple of weeks.
There's been, I mean, every Friday's been bananas, and it's Friday. Why isn't it Tuesday?
Because we switched the days music is released.
We're done, really?
Yeah, like a year and a half ago.
You're correct. Why am I acting like it? Records are still released on Tuesday, though.
Sometimes independent records, because some people still have like a historical affinity for it. But record labels release on Friday because of streaming. They want people to roll into the weekend listening to the new record, whereas on Tuesday it might get lost in movies, it might get lost in other stuff. People aren't buying records,
right?
So now that it's streaming, people are rolling into Friday night playing
it already. It's because the distance from not having it to having it is instantaneous. It's not a visit to the store.
Yeah.
Well, I'm listening to. I know that it's surprising to you, or not surprising, but one of the confusing colored dreaded fellows that I'm listening to is Lil Uzi Vert.
It's very confusing to me.
Why is that confusing to you? The songs are good, right?
Are they good?
Don't ask me.
I am asking you. You're the one listening to them.
Okay. The ones that Pharrell has to do with are incredible.
Okay. Okay.
It's there's one in particular, Neon Guts. It's Pharrell is mostly driving that song. I mean, from production. That's the one where did you know that it was Pharrell, or did you just say it had a Pharrell intro?
You texted me saying, oh, this new Pharrell joint is good. And then you sent me the Apple Music link, and I played it, and I was like, oh, wow. Yeah, it has a four bar count in. Of course it's a Pharrell song.
I didn't realize that was a theme of his, and now I see it. It's like the FedEx arrow.
Yeah, there's a YouTube video about Pharrell's 4-count intros, all of his songs that have it, and it gets funny after like 3 minutes.
Did you send that to me, or did I look that up after?
You may have looked it up.
I think I looked it up. What do you got, though? What is this? You sent me one, Brass Tracks for Those That Know. That's super good.
Yeah.
I just listened to it today. Or is that the name of the album?
It is. I got it here. Yeah, like for those who know, part one.
Jesus. So that means there's five more parts coming this year.
Part two comes out March 2018.
Wait, for real?
Yeah.
It's already... Okay.
Yep.
I did another. I got one more for you. Did I send her to you, Tai Shi?
No.
Oh, listen. Tai Shi, it's this woman who's... She reminds me of... Okay, then I actually think this is a good transition because you sent me one that reminds me of a similar style. But... Tai Shi came to Santa Barbara, and it's got this nice coyote, hiatus coyote feel to it, but more electronic based, more FKA Twigs, but more energy. Cause I don't know. I've listened to FKA again, and I didn't get the hypeness that I felt at first. And I think it was that BPMs, it's a bit slower. So,
yeah.
But give the song Justify a try. I'll definitely link up a few of the things that we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, with Hiatus, you got the lead singer of Hiatus, Nipalm.
Yeah.
Released a record that's perfect. It's perfect. It's a perfect record.
I haven't done it yet. I think I'll go on a drive. And is it a driving album? Can I
it's
do that?
It's more of a driving, especially in Santa Barbara. Drive.
Yeah. Drive up the hill, maybe.
Yeah. Yeah,
it's perspective.
It's not like a Hiatus record, right?
Right.
It's just her and a guitar and like all of her versions of herself singing in the background.
Oh man. Oh, that, I mean, we've covered Sonder quite a few times, but you do have the cap on, but the singing over yourself, like the singing your voice as a bed.
Yeah.
But not in the Kanye West way.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, I'm glad. I didn't even know that she was going to continue Napalm stuff. She might have mentioned it on a Hannibal Buress podcast like a few months back.
Oh, really?
Yeah. She was on his show. I don't know how they know each other. He knows the strangest people. Like, his guests are a huge range. Hmm. Is her name Napalm?
I don't know if that's her born given name, but that is the name she goes by.
Okay, I got it. Oh, like as in, I mean, you don't call him Jay-Z, right? We've done this.
We have it. Yeah. I mean, I call him Mr. Carter.
Mr. Carter.
When he comes over.
Oh yeah. When you guys are cutting your tracks.
No, we were just like hanging out, playing Settlers of Catan.
Oh, I would have assumed you would have said 2K or something.
No.
You guys play long form strategy games together.
Yeah. We really do a lot of trading. We compete for the longest road.
That's what that game is. That game is who can win the longest road, and do you want to go to the bar or not yet?
Yeah.
Do you want to go to the bar yet or not?
Yeah.
Does he ever talk about your Killshot 2s? Oh, shit. I got transitions all day.
You got transitions. He does.
I got transitions all
day. He's actually pretty jealous that I have them. I got him right over here.
Oh, you're not wearing them?
I'm not. Well, no, because I'm standing. But I got them here. The little, man,
they look so good.
They look good. They feel good.
Yeah. So I have a friend of mine, a coworker of mine came into town. And... I hadn't seen him. He was coming from the Boston area, and it was the first time that I saw him in probably several months, maybe even a year.
Yeah.
And he had the Killshot 2s on, and
yeah,
I skipped hugging him and immediately started talking about his sneakers.
Yeah.
And he was down with that. He was down to skip the part where we talk and hug or something like that. And like, let's just immediately get into how you got these shoes.
Yeah, I thought about reselling them because they go for about 50% more on the goats.
It's not about that, is it? Not about that.
I don't know. It might start being about that.
I mean, it's when you have that amount of money, when you have the money to purchase a pair of sneakers that cost less than $100,
yeah,
it's not about the, I don't know, like, why would you sell them for 180 or 200? Like, unless you were getting, unless, I would say the ratio would have to be like five times more in order for me to feel like, because I mean, you still have the value, right?
Yeah.
You have the value. If you sell it and you get the money,
yeah,
the money isn't valuable. It's,
well, the money is valuable.
As valuable as having the freshest kicks in the club.
Yeah,
money can't buy that.
No, I mean, anytime somebody walks in with a pair of Yeezys, they got me beat. Or those Calabasas Yeezys,
I really do want. How long have those Calabasas Yeezys been out?
A few months. Let's see how much they cost.
Ooh.
All right, Yeezy Power Phase Calabasas, size 11. What do we think? $215. See, if I sold these kill shots before I started wearing them, I could have turned them around and got some Yeezy Calabasas.
I think the kill shot 2s are cooler.
Kanye didn't make those. And Kanye's the greatest of all time. I don't know why you keep
I'm not putting them down anymore. Notice this? I'm not
You gotta, all right.
I know I have to listen to Dissect, right?
Yeah.
Can we get over there?
Yeah, people. If you're listening to this and you like music, which if you're listening to this, you probably enjoy music. You have to, because that's kind of all we talk about.
That and shoes.
Dissect season 2. Season 1 was very, very good.
Yeah, that was
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Mm-hmm.
Which that season of Dissect is a show where the host of the show, Cole Kushner, takes 30 minutes or so and dissects each track on an album. And last season he did To Pimp a Butterfly, and in that season he's really focused in on the story of To Pimp a Butterfly, because To Pimp a Butterfly is one long kind of story.
It's the plot.
Yeah, and this season he's doing the greatest album ever, My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy, Kanye's greatest record and one of the greatest records ever. And this one, there is sort of an overarching story song to song, but not as much as To Pimp a Butterfly. But in this season, he's really talking about the musicality of the album.
Right.
He's talking about the music theory. He's talking about the brilliance of different musical transitions song to song. And it's fascinating.
Yeah. I've admitted to this being, yes, I have a battered past with respecting Kanye's art, and it's definitely been a topic of the show a lot. Mm-hmm. I've gotten about 4 to 5 suggestions for me to get into this, show.
Mm-hmm.
Is the season done already? Are they still releasing episodes, or?
It is not done. They are on, is doing Runaway as a 2-part episode.
Yeah, because it's 11 minutes.
It is. And let's see. So he's only on part 2 of Runaway. So he's not even through. He's not even the, like, the best songs on the record.
Okay, well, how about I catch up before he gets into the best songs on the record? And I'll meet you on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Because I can't ignore it. I can't ignore it when the people there's a threshold of you should watch this that pretty much stops you in your tracks. There's you and there's a couple other people, like the guys I spin with. If they suggest anything, then I'm doing it. And so this has to make it in the rotation. I'll fit it in between watching reruns of what's Nick Kroll's new show on Netflix? Big Mouth.
Yeah.
I don't know. I've been catching up on content a little bit, been, you know, getting in there. So Dissect is up next. I'm excited to go in. Did the host voice, is he better on technique? Is he?
No.
It's hard to listen to, man.
He's still overly articulate. Not his language, but his enunciation is very harsh.
Just like pull back.
Yeah.
Pull back.
And thankfully, he doesn't have to say "To Pimp a Butterfly" anymore, which every time he said it made me want to punch him.
To Pimp a Butterfly.
Yeah.
I don't know. I can't even do it.
Yeah.
So, all right then. I'll still go in, but I do wish, is that feedback that you can or should give to a host to say?
Get a better voice.
That's not fair.
I think he should have handed the show off to me this season. He could have wrote it. He could have done all this stuff.
Right.
Yeah. I think I could have done a better job hosting.
Could you have paced around like Eminem does in his video while you perform the dissect?
I think that's what the people would have wanted.
You can make it into a video podcast. Dude, I will show up to a nondescript parking lot with my Prius, and I'll stand in the back with me and my friends that are like, that I've deemed to have black moments.
Yeah. That cool? all your white friends who have occasional moments of accepting that Get Out is the best movie of 2017.
I don't know. I think it's pretty unanimous. I'm actually even it came out earlier this year, right?
It came out in January, yeah.
For some reason I just definitely attribute it to 2016. Maybe the transition didn't happen in my head.
Yeah, it was a January, maybe even February release.
I just went to a showing of it yesterday at the Riviera Theater in Santa Barbara.
Yeah?
Yeah, and Jordan Peele was there.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
That's cool.
It was really cool. So,
did you invite him out for a drink? Did you guys go to the Bobcat?
Damn, that would have been a really good idea. What we did was we were seating. It was a pretty exclusive kind of closed event that I got invited to through being involved with the Santa Barbara Young Black Professionals. Shout out SBYBP. And they sent us an email saying, hey, check out this link, RSVP. Just so you know, even if you RSVP, that doesn't guarantee that you'll get in. Mm-hmm. But so a friend of mine and I, we travel up the 2 minutes that it takes. I didn't look up the address of the theater. And when I finally looked it up when we were getting ready to go, it was 2 minutes drive, like pretty much turn right, turn left. That's where the Riviera Theater is. So it's in smack dab in the middle of my own neighborhood, which is a very white neighborhood.
And Santa Barbara is a very white city.
Yeah. So I don't live in the black part of Santa Barbara, which maybe that's the KFC.
Is there a black part of Santa Barbara?
I don't know how to answer that without being somewhat racist. So I'll continue this scenario where we get up to the entrance of the theater. And of course, when you have these events where you have to RSVP and you're like probably on some kind of list, you're just not sure how they're going to hand you a wristband. Are normal people expected to wait in one area and then other people? But as I was walking up with my, I should note, brown friend, it was basically like, we're not going to turn you guys away.
Yeah.
I hadn't realized the pointedness of the whole thing. Like, as Santa Barbara Young Black Professionals are watching a movie about a black experience inside of a white bubble.
Right.
So much so that I found my friends inside and we wanted to sit next to each other, but the rows were about 5 minutes off from the start and all the rows had been kind of taken up, but imagine two people seated next to each other from SBYBP.
Uh-huh.
And then in the next row directly in front of them, there were two more black people from SBYBP. Uh-huh. And then directly in front of them is where me and my black friend sat.
Yeah.
So it was almost like we were like a cell of people, like smack dab in the middle of the theater. I just found that enjoyable because there's so much so much movie going. That movie evokes you to Black React.
Yeah, I was gonna ask, were you and your friends reacting to the movie in the stereotypical Black
I couldn't help it.
Movie way, and you're surrounded by white folks who have never been more uncomfortable in their life?
So within, so essentially the preview section of this starts.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm texting a friend, and the woman next to me, definitely 50s or 60s, says that my screen is too bright and that I should put my phone away.
Yeah, well, yeah, you should. You should. Why are you texting before the movie? Why are you texting during the movie? Put your phone away.
I wasn't texting during the movie. This was the lights were still on. The house lights were still on.
Okay. Okay.
Is that all right. Is that
That's
fair?
That's fair. That's fair.
I know That's when fair. To put the phone away. We all know when to do it.
I mean, I'm not so sure you do.
I just feel like she was precautious in it. Like it was like a kind of like, don't you know how to behave type of. It was a little scornful. It was a little like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah.
Get with the program. And yeah. Like, this is about to be a budget.com car commercial. Please leave me alone. Oh, budget.com? I think it's a car dealership. You don't know this? I'm pretty sure it's like, okay, maybe that's a regional thing. Point is, yes, many Black reactions were happening, especially during parts like when he starts to get the upper hand and I'm like clapping silently in the sky. Or when the guy does the very famous running scene where you just can't help but feel really nervous.
Yeah.
But after the movie was over, Jordan Peele came out and the president, I guess, of this Santa Barbara Film Festival or International Film Association, he came out and brought Jordan with him and asked him a bunch of pointed questions about it. And Jordan Peele he must be getting tired of these interviews, or I don't know. He wasn't as well. He almost seemed kind of annoyed.
He's been doing these press things for a year now.
Right.
I'm sure he's sick of it.
I mean, it wasn't exhaustion that I was detecting. Maybe it was. But there were a couple of questions that just kind of went in like a where he answered is like, was that where the question started?
But, right.
I imagine interviewing for something like this is probably bananas. He had this.
How many times can you be asked?
What was the inspiration?
Like, what was it? Yeah. What was it like when you went home and showed your white wife this movie?
We did not get to. So my friend and I were saying, like, you know, what question would you ask? And she's like, oh, I'd definitely ask him about his white wife.
Like, yeah.
But I don't know if the audience didn't really get a chance to ask many questions.
That's good. That's actually a good thing.
I guess Q&As,
once you ask normal people, once you give normal people an opportunity to ask questions, they ask very stupid questions.
You're right. You got to keep it moderated.
Yeah.
But it was a really good interview. I was actually kind of embarrassed to learn of a couple things that I didn't realize. I hope there's no spoilers here, but the movie's been out for about 9 months. That's okay, right?
Yeah. If you haven't seen Get Out,
yeah,
stop listening to the show. We don't want you.
And watch it. But when he was making reference to Stephen King and how you create weapons that are not usually weapons. He's saying when you have what's going to be an object of violence, the use of the objects that the protagonists use at the end are very, what do you call them? They're very intentionally chosen.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay, if you have a gun with a silencer on it and a laser shot, this is what he said. You kind of know that this is not the type of thriller that's made by people that are really trying to get you to be afraid of something, to fear something.
Right.
And so his choice of the bocce ball.
Yeah.
And then also like a lacrosse stick, I think, was also used. And
Yep.
Then the deer.
The antlers, yeah.
The mask. Those were just, those are weaponry of what is mostly unfamiliar to a black audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, rarely are we engaging. You're not going to see a lot of black people around a bocce ball court. And nope. So the interviewer was getting to a bunch of points like that. And I was just like, okay, this has, this layer cake is meters long.
Right. Yeah.
So it was super, even though I didn't get to talk with him directly, which I didn't expect anyway, but it was still, them driving the conversation was a great time. It was a mm-hmm. super good time. And especially to be with Santa Barbara Young Black Professionals, which is a kind of unusual friend group for me, or unusual. I never sought out that type of social interaction. So to do that in combination with a movie like Get Out, talking about very relevant scenarios, I was completing circles. I was closing rings.
After a month in Amsterdam, you probably need to refill your black gauge a little bit.
Yeah. What's interesting there is when you have conversations about ethnicity and race, they're so perplexed that they tend to understand that America is a bit more just racist in general. Like, that's what they have in their mind. And so when topics like that come up, they really just have a perplexed attitude. Like, who behaves like this? And like, maybe it's just not as institutionalized here, but I mean,
well, there's not an actual historical record.
True. Right. There's not a trail of a tragedy trail.
Yeah. Yeah. Way. You don't. And I assume they don't have 400 years of things you can directly. Why do people in 2017 act the way they do now? Well, 400 yeah. years ago, you know.
True. Yeah. They don't have that heritage, so they can't share it yet.
Yeah,
I mean, from a very young age in school, you know, you and I were taught about these things about the people around us. So,
yeah,
but
you can't trust the white man.
That's I more got that lesson at outside of the school rather than inside.
Oh, you didn't get that. You didn't get that in your in kindergarten.
No, they were pretty pro white.
My kindergarten was very anti-white.
Are you being for real?
No.
Okay, that's good to say. I hope that's not happening.
I went to Afrocentric.
Oh, shit. But yeah, there's I got a little picture. I'll show it to you.
I see it here.
It's in the notes. Saw it in the notes already?
It's in the notes.
Yeah,
in the
notes. I would say that I was... the Jumbotron made it feel like I was right there.
Yeah, when I initially scrolled down, I was like, oh, wow, you was like right in the front row. But then I scrolled down, I was like, oh, that's a projection.
Yes, exactly. But it was a good way to spend a Sunday, for sure.
Or Saturday? Was it Saturday?
Yeah, it was yesterday? Saturday. Yeah, maybe I'm getting my days confused.
Whew.
I know. Got to get my life in order.
You
Don't at me, Josh. what you got coming up? What's going on?
What do I got coming up? I gotta watch a lot of basketball.
Oh, okay. Are you following? You're following how many teams, or is it just Cavs?
No. Let's see. How many teams am I following? Let's look at my phone here. I got a lot of teams. I'm a big Milwaukee Bucks fan. Fear the deer. #
Okay.
I'm rooting for my Bucks all the way.
Where's Fear the Deer coming from? They're the
Milwaukee Bucks.
Oh, okay. Right.
And
right.
You gotta fear the deer.
Is that like a chant that they might do as well?
I don't think it's a chant, but it is what you and all of the teams need to do is fear the deer.
Got it, Josh. No problem there. I'm fearing the deer for sure. How are they doing so far? I mean, there's been three.
Two and one.
Okay. Not too bad.
Yeah. They should have beat the Cavs.
Right. Did not. That's fine.
Yeah. There's 82 games. There's three more games against the Cavs. And my Bucks will take it home, you know?
All right. Do you have any Bucks gear? Do you wear a shirt?
Not yet. Okay.
Gonna get a tattoo, maybe.
I'm probably gonna get a fear the deer tat, like right above my stomach, like right above my belly button, like in the Tupac style.
Who's your favorite in the lineup? Who's like when they take?
Oh, everyone knows Giannis Antetokounmpo is the greatest player of all time.
Did you say that name more times?
Giannis Antetokounmpo.
All right. And what you got? Handles?
The Greek freak.
No, I was hoping you'd say the Greek god, but the Greek freak, come on.
He is incredible.
Oh, wow. All right.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching some footage right now. And
are you?
Yeah, I am.
You on House of Highlights?
I'm on NBA.com.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, you got to get on that NBA Reddit, you know?
Oh, right. Really. I mean, you do send me, I do like that you've sent me, whenever I want to watch a game, you give me the Reddit thread that's, it's got the convo, it's got the stream in it. It's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm.
When's this guy going to get a shoe? Does he have a shoe already?
I think he's in between brand switching. I think he was a Nike guy and Adidas rolled up with the, before the season, Adidas rolled up with the Van. And the Van has like 200 pairs of shoes in it.
Oh, yo.
And they pulled the James Harden move. And James Harden, before he signed with Adidas, a semi-truck rolled up to his house completely full with sneakers.
When am I going to get that dreaming, man? That's what I don't want to be internet famous. I want someone to get a semi-truck. I mean, my street is like that. A semi-truck on my street would fuck up the neighborhood. It would just
It would.
And that's
it
what I want bad. To happen.
Well, you have to get internet famous before you can get the Adidas deal.
Yeah, is that all right? Maybe
or you got to be Kanye or or Kendrick. Kendrick was an Adidas guy. Now he's a Nike guy.
He was a Nike guy before that, though. Like, as in, he's been wearing that Cortez for forever. At least that's what the story.
Yeah, but he was sponsored by. No, he was sponsored. Was it Reebok?
Ooh, maybe Reebok. I can see that story happening for some reason.
Yeah, but now he's a Nike guy. Now he's got he's got his own shoe. Kendrick does.
One of my favorite things about the Netherlands is it seems like everyone's a sneakerhead. Like,
yeah,
everyone's casual sneaker game is leagues ahead of me.
Yeah, when are you gonna throw down and get some?
I can't.
No,
I mean I will. I've found the shoes that I like, and I think that I'll just get variants on those for a while.
What's the shoe? What's the?
There's a Porsche edition pair of Adidas that are just they felt good and they look good. And then there are the Nike Cortez, of course, and there's just a few different variants to go with that where you've got a little gel swoosh, or maybe you've got the polyester one. There's different sizes and maybe a couple different colors.
Yeah. What's the resale on that?
The resale?
Yeah.
Oh, they're like, you can get them for like $60. They're not, there's no, but I think that's what I like. There's no exclusivity to it. I mean, there is a pair of red Kendrick Lamar Cortez that I should link you to that are pretty slick.
Yeah, you should buy them.
I don't think I can do red shoes. Correction. Why? I don't think I want to do red shoes because it's, I feel like Sonic the Hedgehog when I wear red shoes. They're distracted.
Okay.
maybe that's not. I don't. They're. I'm about to get a uniform type of life going.
Yeah. You think you're gonna uniform?
Yeah. Yeah. Me.
What's the uniform?
My. It's gonna be. I think it's gonna be Cortez, either white on black or black on white.
Okay.
Dark jean.
Okay.
And a white t-shirt.
That's it. That's all you're going to wear that every day.
I think, yeah. Yeah. That's what I want.
And then,
okay. I've been slowly only buying white tops.
It's funny because I can see your closet right now and I see at least 8 button downs, none of which are white.
That's because they're all needing to be washed. That's the unfortunate thing about white clothing is that you cannot, if you fold it wrong and it brushes up, then you need to handle that.
Yeah.
But no, it's something that I've always wanted to try is
a uniform.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I think it's something that success at it will be similar to a diet where once you establish the habit, you'll feel good about it.
What's your white top of choice? Is this like white tee and a white button down?
So
a white tank.
Never wear anything under a button down. Those are the rules. You're clearly following the rules. I cannot get my housemate to follow the rules at all. He's always wearing. He was wearing a t-shirt under his button down, and I was trying to tell him the rules.
Is this like a graphic tee? It's
just a clash. No matter what it is, even if you just wear a plain white underneath it, it's to me it's blasphemy. And then he came up to me, and then he was wearing a tank top underneath his button down, and he's like, "Dude, I followed your." I'm like, "No, you gotta free your chesticles.
Okay,
let them breathe.
Okay."
But anyway,
okay.
My proper my preferred top, if it's mm-hmm. buttoned down, is Banana Republic,
mm-hmm.
all white.
Mm-hmm.
My tee, I have a new favorite t-shirt.
Okay,
it's actually called, I think it's called American Tee, or American
Apparel.
No, it's like, what is it? It's this. It's this brand that I found somewhere. I don't remember the name of it, but basically just crew cut white.
Crew cut.
That's the one that just has the
yeah.
It's just normal.
Yeah,
so, yeah. It's just nothing flat. I'm trying not to be too flashy.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, you know,
as you're wearing a t-shirt, this is Rebel.
this is Sunday wear. Ever since you told me that we don't have to go down, ever since I've established that I wasn't traveling to LA today, by the way, uh-huh. this distance episode.
Yeah.
I've progressively gotten, I was so ready, Josh. I had a different outfit on. My car was packed and I was ready for action. And since then I've devolved. my day has devolved into slum.
in like 15 minutes, the shirt's just coming off, and you're like, "Who buttons pants anymore? Whatever, fuck it."
What's your? I mean, you got the kill shots. Are you doing anything? What's winter like for Josh's? What am I going to see you in? I mean, your hair is longer than it's ever been.
It's the curls. It's, are can beautiful. You see? Can you see how long it is?
Wow! Holy moly!
If I really just pull it down, whoa. It's very long. And then you got like,
wow, man,
it's gnarly right now.
It's beautiful. It's great. Are you even treating your hair differently? I've never seen the locks flow like this.
Well, this is, I haven't showered today. Once you called me and called me saying you weren't coming, coming down, I devolved and, I was planning on showering during the halftime of the Browns game.
Yeah.
And you called me midway through the second quarter. And I was like, fuck that. So what you get instead is yesterday's clothes with yesterday's Woo! Hair and today's Sonder hat.
Man. It's a good look, though. It's a good look. How's Thanks. That? Have we talked about that Sonder show on the show?
No. Because you were abroad.
Oh, man. I know it was great. I know
it was
much.
Great. It was weird because it was less than 1 hour long.
That's a bummer. Or did that bummer you out or no?
I mean, they played all the songs. They just, they don't, That's it's just not
how many
like,
songs they have.
Yeah, they were eventually just like, what if we did, some Jodeci covers?
Wait, for real?
Yeah, he did a Jodeci cover. And you know those artists that, it's only true in R&B and hip hop. You don't see a lot of rock musicians.
Yeah. Okay.
Just slowly undress. Like halfway, like every other song, their like t-shirt is halfway up and they're just grabbing, they're just touching their stomach.
They got that move from D'Angelo, man.
They got, or R. Kelly. I feel like that was an R. Kelly movie.
Oh, yeah, you're probably too, right. You know? Yeah, absolutely.
Just before he like captured 15-year-olds and peed on them.
You could have said captured like 15-year-olds like attention or something, but you went to kidnapping.
Nope. Yep. He had a cult and he was peeing on them.
Oh, man. There's a Washington Post article about Sonder making the 90s sound alive at U Street Music Hall. Was that where your show was?
No, I was at the Terragram.
That must be a part of their regular set then.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
How did the crowd react when that was
the ladies loved it. But you look at him, you go, you're just a skinny dude. It's not like you're D'Angelo in 2000 where you're perfect. It wasn't that at all. It was just skinny dude just lifting up his shirt and making like gyrations.
That's not what you want.
That's not what I expect.
Okay, got it.
That's not what I expect to get a rapturous reaction from the women in the audience. But our good friend Joe Kay was there.
Whoa, that's right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you had a sighting, or was he in the back or something?
Oh, he walked right past me.
Did you say anything?
No, what was I going to say?
I'm a fan.
I saw him a couple weeks before.
That's... For the first time in your life, when you said that you've seen someone that influences you, that you saw a couple weeks before, that's actually accurate.
Yeah.
Dream maker.
What happened to rock music?
I still listen sometimes.
Okay. I'm curious. What are you listening to in the rock music world?
I mean, Nine Inch Nails came out with that. Record a little bit ago. I mean,
which
I
is very good, very very good.
It's the best since. I don't know. Hesitation marks is all right, but yeah. Let me take a look at the old rock music history there.
Because I'm looking. I thought about this the other day when I was talking with somebody about how like rap and R&B just like completely destroyed. The charts. It's like it's pop music. It's your Taylor Swifts and Katy Perrys, and
yep.
and then for some reason Lil Uzi Vert.
Because he gets it, man.
Sure, but and then I was trying to think like I can't even think of what a new rock record is, and then I went on Billboard's chart.
Yeah,
and Portugal the Man apparently has a new album.
Yeah, they do. I haven't heard it. But Portugal the Man is an interesting story because they started out like one of those bands. Do you ever know of a group called Gatsby's American Dream?
Yep.
Okay. You really? That's a fucking. That's great. So
we went to high school together. Everything you listen to, I listen to.
I know, but there's still like maybe you weren't listening. So, but that band used to sound they were closer to that sound. That wasn't ever going to be, they weren't going to be Taking Back Sunday. Like, because Taking Back Sunday topped the charts at a certain time as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so, but that sound wasn't going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
Then you take groups like maybe Foster the People or something like that, and you get into those types of sounds. I think that Portugal the Man positions themselves like, you should compare us to Foster the People and whatever. What was that band? Wow, this is a terrible way to get there, but Lena Dunham's like
fun.
Portugal the Man fits in that like realm when they didn't used to. So
like pop rock.
Pop rock, yes, that's what I'd say.
So but I'm looking at like Billboard.
Fall Out Boy came out with a new record, right?
It's not on the charts.
Ouch.
But like Portugal the Man, Imagine Dragons, which is the most boring. It is the most boring band I've ever heard. There is nothing interesting about Imagine Dragons. But they have two top five songs. A bunch of Tom Petty, which makes sense.
Yeah.
Rest in peace. Theory of a Dead Man is in the top 10. Like, these are all bands from 10 years ago. Like, who are the new
rock bands?
The Killers, 30 Seconds to Mars.
Wow, yeah.
Foo Fighters, Fall Out Boy is number 17. Linkin Park, that makes sense, not because their album's particularly good, but because it's Chester.
Right.
U2 is in the top 25. Like,
where are the purple dreaded rock stars right now?
Yeah, like where is rock music?
I think that there's something about the bedroom producer and how to create music that has had an influence on what everything people listen to. Like, when it was fashionable to, it is right now fashionable to have a DJ controller on your desktop, whether you have it casually or you're really into it. Mm-hmm. I think there was a time when it was fashionable to have the, first act all in one guitar with guitar amp and five picks, bundle that you get from Sears.
Yeah.
And there was a time when you would buy that, and then that kid would go on to make All American Rejects. And then as their contemporaries are trying to pay attention to the next hot thing,
mm-hmm.
they're like, that band is going to, people are going to fall in love with that. I'm going to back that. Mm-hmm. I think we've just really taken a step back from garage rock bands. I mean, like you said, like, I know that, what's his name? Rivers Cuomo was on on Zane Lowe's show, I think.
Sure.
And then Ben Folds is like making some type of research. Like, where are the new names? I don't think that what is being ushered into, what's going to be on Apple Music's spotlight is going to be those types of bands, because that's not what young kids are doing anymore. Or that's not what,
right.
You're not going to have who's the next All American Rejects? We don't know. They're not getting videos. They're not getting airplay.
Who's the next like Foo Fighters? Who's the next like actual band? Like, who's the next 30 Seconds to Mars, right? 30 Seconds to Mars is a pretty popular band.
Right.
And they have been the Killers.
Okay.
They've been popular for like 15 years.
Right.
And maintain popularity. There hasn't been like a band like that that is like people know.
Right. I mean,
I guess Imagine Dragons, but they're fucking boring.
Maybe Walk the Moon. Do you know that group?
No, I don't even know what that is.
That's the Shut Up and Dance With Me guys. Okay, we'll play a little sample of that. Do you know that song, Shut Up?
No.
She took my hand.
What's that? What was that? Can you keep going?
Yeah, maybe. She took my arm. I don't know how it happened. We took the floor and she sailed. No? Nothing? You got nothing with that? You never heard that song?
Never heard that song. Cool.
Maybe Taylor Swift is rock music? Is she rock music?
No, she's just pop. Bad. It's bad.
Hayley Williams and her band. Holy crap.
Paramore?
Yeah, Paramore. They keep releasing new stuff. I think they had a new record this year, and it was to some attention.
Yeah.
We don't have, like, there's churches now. Like, that's the 15 to like 18 year old band is just not the way it looked when we were in high school.
Yeah, it's very strange.
I mean, you got King Cruel now. That's instead of
I guess. Yeah.
Did you listen to that? The Ooze. Ooh, it's good. No.
But also, for some reason, Post Malone is the number one song in the country, so I don't understand anything anymore.
I did play a Post Malone in my recent comfort food show. And
did you drop that Cardi B?
No. I mean, let's not say that I don't drop Nicki Minaj's Only. So let's not say that I don't play music like that. But I didn't have a place for it. And you're talking about the Red Bottoms?
Yeah.
Or are you just talking about any of her songs?
I didn't know she had more than three songs.
She might not.
Yeah.
But it's amazing how 3 minutes of content can rein in a new queen or king. Isn't that?
Well, it's not hard. It's not that hard.
How do you mean?
If Nicki Minaj is the bar you have to cross, it's not that difficult.
What are you saying? Nicki Minaj is great. She's got great verses.
She's had like two great verses.
She's had two great verses. I haven't heard a great
verse
from
like
Cardi.
That was like 10 years ago.
Cardi's song is a 3 minute hook. It's amazing. How did she do that?
Yeah. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. It's a low bar to cross.
Okay.
To be the best. when Nicki Minaj is considered the best.
When we consider best 808s of the year, I think Cardi B's song might be a no-go. Okay.
Yeah, we got to start thinking about year-end categories.
Okay, yeah. We're still 2 months out, but judging by the amount of episodes that we put out, I feel like we might have two more before that episode comes out. So,
We're dropping 14.
14? Mm-hmm. Are we going to get to episode 50 before the end of the year?
No, we're not doing that.
Okay, let's not get too ambitious.
Yeah.
Do you know you can always just break out your old copy of Take This to Your Grave and relive those sweet, supple Pete Wentz early moments?
Well, the new, let's be honest, the new Fall Out Boy is better.
Whoa.
Yep, hot take.
I don't know.
Fall Out Boy when, what's his name? What's the lead singer's name?
Patrick Stump.
Patrick Stump, when he realized that he can take the Michael Jackson mantle, is when Fall Out Boy got much better.
I can say that there is definitely a shift from a ironic shittiness to intentional goodery.
I'm one of seven people who liked Patrick Stump's solo record.
Yeah, I was number two.
I'm also one of six people who like Chris Cornell's Timbaland record.
Wow. Damn. I don't know that I know about that mashup.
Yeah. Timbaland produced Chris Cornell's second solo album.
Holy
Scream.
What does it sound like?
Incredible. It's incredible. You have the greatest voice in rock music history.
Yeah.
And then
the
greatest rap, R&B, hip hop producer.
Right. Damn, Timbaland's still the king, though.
He is. I haven't heard him do anything in a while.
I'm pretty sure he's all over the new Missy record.
Is the Missy record that I think you and I have been talking about released, that's being released for about 2 years now?
Is that what it is? I mean, she has new songs, right?
She does. She does, for sure.
And I don't believe that it would be without Timbaland. That would be weird.
No, it's definitely with Timbaland, but that record that I don't think is ever coming out.
You're probably right. That's our Chronic 2 or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah.
I ended up watching that whole HBO series.
The Defiant ones.
Yeah, that was so good. All right. I mean, there were a lot of people that were watching Entourage when I was going to college. And I feel like Defiant Ones, even though it is a real life type of thing and Entourage is fictional, that made me feel the way that my friends felt when they watched Entourage. Like, let's go out and do this. Come on.
Oh, okay. All right.
It truly was inspiring.
Where did people wanted to be like an Entourage?
Of course. That's the only reason a show like that can succeed, is that people see themselves in it. They're like, that's me, and then you're the turtle, and then you're the you gotta get your entourage going. Did you watch ended up watching that Defiant Ones, right? You watched it early.
Yeah, you watched it early on.
Though, I imagine.
I was early in on that.
It took me like 2 or 3 months to get in.
It's all right.
It's a good story, though.
Yeah. You just gotta catch up to things a little faster, you know.
Who, me? You mean I should jump on
you?
It? Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Where? Okay. So I'm gonna.
What's the new hotness?
Yeah. Exactly.
So you're about to ask.
I'm
what
about
the new
to
hotness
ask
is?
What is Josh's new hotness?
Well, I can tell you, Stranger Things is coming out in a few days, so that's gonna be the new hotness.
Oh, geez, it is cuffing season. I don't know why Stranger Things makes me think of like pumpkin spice, and it's the time of year. It's Stranger Things is fall the season in a video format.
Yeah, except for it's going to be 100 degrees in LA tomorrow.
You got is your air conditioner still working?
Sure enough. Definitely cleaning those filters out today. It's on the old OmniFocus task list.
I tell you, if you clean your air conditioner filters today, I'm going to give you a pass. You can go ahead and order some Postmates.
I'm not making anything today.
I'm going to dinner today. Oh man, you pulled me up and then took me back down.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. So what did you just say? The new hotness. Stranger Things is the new hotness. I mean, mm-hmm. This is good. We talk about something before it happens. I think we talk about shows before they happen, like concerts.
Yeah.
And how excited we are. Mm-hmm. Are you season two ready for Stranger Things? Like, is your house? Are you gonna wear a t-shirt? Are you gonna?
I'm really just. I just want to watch season two so I can listen to the soundtrack.
Really? I mean, it has mm-hmm. that impression on you?
Yeah.
It definitely has that impression on me. It sounds amazing.
Yeah.
I wonder if there's going to be any evolution, if that's...
I hope not. I just want 80s synth.
That's a group who does that, Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Who do it.
Yeah.
And they've played the Stranger Things like soundtrack live before.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Oh, you know about this.
Yeah. I think their name's like... Stronger or something.
Yeah, I don't know the name of it, but I'll try to find it.
I got it here.
You do?
I got it here.
Okay.
It's
seems like Kyle Dixon keeps coming up.
Survive.
Good name. Are there any missing vowels?
No, but there's a space between each letter that are all caps. Survive.
Have you listened to any of that music at all?
Mm-hmm. It's pretty good.
Okay.
It's pretty good. Yeah.
Sometimes
it's no Power Glove. Shout out to the folks who knew who Power Glove is.
I don't know if I know who Power Glove is.
They're two attorneys who make music. They did the theme, they did the music for Far Cry 3 Blood Dragon. shout out to my DLC people.
Tell me that's not a really deep take. Tell me that's who's. Wait, tell me who's resonating with that. I mean, the people know.
The people know.
Okay, got it.
My people know.
I mean, Power Glove reminds me of the Nintendo Power Glove, which I'm sure is what they're trying.
I think the title is from that. Yeah.
Well, okay. So we're stoked for the soundtrack. I mean, I'm really. Ready for who was it? Diane, who went missing?
Barb
is back, right? I don't know, I'm not ready.
We haven't watched it.
If I look up the IMDb like credits and I see her as an actress, yeah. Will that spoil it for me, do you think?
Yeah, don't look up anything. Just go ahead and cancel your plans. Friday
it comes out on Friday,
I think so.
Oh yeah, yeah. Done. I don't need that type of pressure. You're not watching spoilers for anything, right? You're not watching the Star Wars trailer.
Yeah, I'm still haven't seen the Star Wars trailer.
You're not. You watched the Black Panther trailer though.
You ain't keeping the Star the Black Panther. I'm gonna see the Star Wars trailer in like 2 weeks when Thor Ragnarok comes out. It's inevitably gonna be before it.
Yeah, you're right.
Which I'm fine with seeing it in the theater. I just don't want to see it while naked on my toilet on my phone.
I don't know. I feel like that's a fine way to take in naked on the toilet. I feel like that's your true self, right? I mean, that's your
bidet running.
Can that be the name of your EP?
Oh shit! Yeah, maybe that's it. I've been working on it. Bidet running. And I could sample the sound of the bidet.
I am working on a. I mean, this is semi related. I'm working on a 3P, three track EP.
I thought maybe you were. The Bulls in the mid-90s,
right,
getting your three-peat.
Right, no. If my success in music can be anything compared to the Bulls and their and their lineage? No, what track record? What would you call that? Just like their
Track record's fine.
Their legacy, I think, is what I'm talking
about. Yeah, their legacy. You could be the Dennis Rodman of Santa Barbara. Music.
I would tote that very proudly. Like, oh, you don't know me? I'm the Dennis Rodman of this area.
Yeah.
I'm the ambassador.
Yeah.
Of Lil Uzi.
Ugh.
But no, I'm working on a 3-track record with my friend Devante, and I hope I know this episode will start with some type of music, but I do want to end it with a track of his that recently came out. You met him at my birthday.
Yeah, you want to end it with a little Chemistry?
Well, I either want to do Chemistry or H&M.
Okay.
H&M is the newest one, but Chemistry is the newest one. Yeah, he announced it. It's kind of like a soft announce. I don't think he's gone
It was on. It was on the IG Live.
Right. Exactly. I don't know if it's made its way into the what do you call it? Just like the album art, and it's like, hey, it's available. Go get it.
Yeah.
So
I'm gonna show you this. I'm gonna show you that.
Oh,
look,
man.
At that heavy rotation, Mr. Devante.
He's. What a special soul. I've got a housemate that
he's a roommate.
He's a roommate. Yeah, I say housemate to specifically refer to people that live in the same structure. But no, he lives in the what we call Studio B. you haven't been here in a while. So yeah. My bedroom is Studio A and his bedroom is Studio B. It's the one with the view out into the Santa Barbara.
I think he won.
He did
somehow.
I'm actually when we came up with that arrangement, I don't think that we thought there would be winners or losers, but I clearly have sacrificed something.
Yeah.
But I'm going to work with him on. We have these little mantras between each other, and one of them is "water is delicious." Like we'll have a back and forth. Like good morning. Today's going to be a great day. Today's going to be it's going to be way better than yesterday. And then we'll end it on "water is delicious." It's just a thing. And I want to make a 3-track EP with him that is very focused on water. We're going to be using water type samples. Like think of a droplet. Maybe think of water flow, like a river, maybe.
Okay.
Get a little bit of that action going. So if you have water based samples, hit me with it. Or if you,
I have professional sound libraries with all the water.
Can I use that?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Yo, things are going to happen. Episode 33 listener. You've heard just now this water 3P is going to be professional. Do you know what Josh does? Josh is a industry professional. He's not a director. He's an editor. So let's.
Thanks for clearing that up.
I want the people to know that. I mean, that promise you've just made me very excited. Will you really Dropbox that to me or something?
I can whatever you want. Yeah.
Will you create probably Dropbox folder branded (6)? Because right now Josh has created so many folders that are just my name and shared them with me that we're up to 5 now of it automatically naming it. So put that in my file.
Yeah, I'll drop some of those in there.
Thank you. I'm so excited. Sorry, go ahead.
No, go ahead. You're excited for what?
I'm just really excited to work with Devante. Like he's his voice is super good.
Yeah, Duke can sing.
Did I take you to that show in LA? No, I think I was with my other buddies, Jerome, that I spent with. But he's going to perform in LA again soon. Would you like to go?
Yeah, okay, I'm in.
Good. That's a good answer.
Yeah.
Maybe get you to edit a spot for him or something. I don't know. We got to collab on something. Maybe you get on this 3P idea here going. If you give me a bidet sample, if you just hold your iPhone up to it running, I feel like that'll give us some authenticity.
Do you want me to hold the microphone maybe just outwards while I'm using the bidet and you can really capture the sounds of my reaction from the moment I turn the knob and then the water comes out. And then my initial...
You still audibly react when it comes on? You're not bored of it yet?
Oh, it is.
Does it get better over time?
It is shocking every time it happens. Every time it happens, I know it's happening. I know it's coming. And then sure enough, whew.
Oh boy. Yeah, I can't. Yeah. My Dropbox awaits. I can't wait to get that.
All right. Anyway, I think that's it. We ended on a bidet.
I think as soon as we get into bidet talk.
Bidet talk.
So you made it. You did it. You made it to the end of another Things Are Gonna Happen. And we feel like we should reward that. So coming up is a single by my good friend and great singer-songwriter, Devontae. His song, H&M, it has recently come out and it's on Spotify and all these things. But we figured we'd like to promote those that are close to us and that we believe in their mission. So this song is produced by Milo Garcia, mixed by Urko. Links to Devontae's music will be posted in the show notes, as well as Urko's mixing. This dude's incredible. If you make or want to suggest music for us to listen to and, I don't know, maybe have it featured on this or whatever, give us a shout. We're on Twitter at @TagHappen. So that's TAGHAPPEN. Here's Devontae with H&M.
Self-expression equal higher self-esteem. Got me be hypnotized by that belly button ring. Dollar bills, I'ma keep it raining for my queen. And I see
till the sun.